follow us on Facebook at Leading From the Table. We are The Pledge, and this is Leading From the Table. Good morning, everyone. This is Carrie Davis, broadcasting live from the Eminence Financial Studios, right here in beautiful West Michigan. Well, we're glad you joined us today. I am so looking forward to this conversation with our next guest, because this is a story, and her life should inspire all of us to believe that God never leaves. I want to welcome to the program author, bloggist, mother, businesswoman, and, well, inspiration to me. She's wonderful. She's the head of For His Glory Ministry, Amy Bauman. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I'll tell you what, Amy, it's great to have you. I have your book in front of me, In Over My Head. It is a memoir, which you wrote.
Yes.
And I have to tell you, the first few pages in, all I could think of was, wow, this woman is really being extremely transparent.
Yes.
And honest. And how refreshing that is. I appreciate honesty and directedness in individuals, but then to put it all out there in a memoir, it takes a lot.
Yes.
So before we get into the actual book itself, let's talk a little bit about what it meant for you to be able to put this story out, and what has it meant for you once it's been there in the general public?
Well, I'll start with the second question. Once it got out there and I had some people reading it and giving me their reviews, it was like, okay, wow, I really did put it all out there for people to read. That was a little bit overwhelming, but again, just trying to be faithful and obedient to what God asked me to do. I actually heard him, while I was on a trip in Israel, say it was now time to tell my story. And so from there, I kind of came back to the States, had to put feet to that, and see what that would actually look like.
So often when I have a lot of books that come across my desk. I have a lot of memoirs. A lot of people say, oh, here, you've got to read my story. And some of them are, you know, they're good. Some of them are a little bit, you can tell they're self-published, with all due respect.
Yep.
But this book is extremely well-written. This book is insightful in its honesty, but it's extremely well written, because you have studied the art form of writing a memoir. Clearly,
yes.
you have done your research, and you also understand how to craft a story. So you draw the reader right through.
Thank you.
It's very good. The book is called In Over My Head, a memoir, and it's by Amy Bauman, and she's joining us here today on the program. One of the things that I also appreciate about this book in particular is the fact that you begin in the beginning, and you sort of lay out the foundation and the framework of your story of how you discovered God's faithfulness and healing in the waters of life. And being a West Michigander, mm-hmm. water, we think about a lot about water.
Yes.
And the waterway. We think a lot about sand. I mean, anyone in this town will say, if understands the concept, you build your house on a rock, not on sand, and we all know why.
Exactly.
Right. So the waters of life. Was it hard in the beginning to sort of unpack this story? Did it take a lot of writes and rewrites and saying, no, I don't want to put that in? Was there any editing that you now think, look back and go, oh, I wish I would have, maybe I should have added that?
Yes, it was hard to kind of, for one, go through my life as it happened, and I was reliving everything as I was writing. So there were some things that I probably could have even added more description. There was some things that we took away during the editing process, but it was hard going back and putting myself at that age again and kind of going through all of the things that I went through growing up.
Was there also a time where you thought, okay, as you're writing this out, are you having moments and thoughts where you're thinking to yourself, oh my, I haven't really looked at it from this perspective. Now that I'm reading this and I'm going through the editorial process, this section of my life, are you having aha moments in the midst of the writing?
Yes. When I had gotten back from Israel and knew that God had told me it was time to write my story, I didn't really understand why he told me what he did, where he did. And that's a really important part of the book. It was told to me at the Maktesh, which is one of the world's largest lower areas in the world. And it's created by tectonic forces. And it didn't happen to me, I didn't understand why God told me what he did until I got back home, until I was writing my story, until I was looking at all the different steps that I had taken. And that was a huge aha moment for me.
It sort of all made sense.
It did.
The trip sounds amazing.
It was. It was led by Brad Gray, who I've made an acknowledgement in my book for. He is an incredible pastor and teacher, and the group followed him for 10 days in Israel, and I went through Central Westland Church.
Wonderful. We're talking today with Amy Bauman. She's the author of the book, In Over My Head, Discovering God's Faithfulness and Healing in the Waters of Life. And we're going to be talking about this book and her story and about the journey that God and Amy have taken together. And I think as you continue listening with me today, one of the things you're going to discover that we all have a piece in this game. We all have a piece in this story because we've all journeyed in some similar capacities, some not, but in some similar capacities. And Amy's, one of the things that you are very transparent about is in your early life, there were times when you said, okay, God, well, I want to do this. And God clearly said, yeah, that's not happening. No, I'm not in my book. It doesn't happen. You went, that's okay. I'm going to leave you over here and I'm going to do what I want.
Yes.
That is such a typical human response, and yet you are very honest in how you approach that, and then honest in looking back and saying, well, God was right. No great shock there.
Yes. It took me a lot of years to get to that point, though, because even though I had heard him say no, I knew what I wanted, and I went after it. And later, after all the struggles, after all the things that I had gone through, that was when I realized, well, God didn't give me the green light on that. He didn't have my back. He didn't say it's okay to do this. Now, even though he walked through me, he never left my side, he didn't give me permission. And you can look back and see all of the areas where I failed, and he knew I would.
One of the things that you also really look at is the fact that within the context of your life and the story of your life is that when you knew you were in over your head in specific scenarios, you knew it in that moment and you still stayed where you were. It was kind of like, oh, I'm in over my head, but I'm, and you knew that God was nearby. There's a whole juxtaposition in my mind of watching you as I'm reading the story. Like, okay, I'm in this situation and I know I'm not supposed to be in this situation, but it's going to be okay. And God, it was never a point where I felt like you were saying grace abounds, but more like, well, it's up to me. It's a self-reliance issue. You know, it became like more of a self-reliance issue. I know God said, no, I'm in it. This isn't working. I got to figure it out. And you still were going, okay, I'll get to you, God. I got to work this out. Did you ever think, look at it that way?
Several times. I think I was so driven. I can do this myself. I can pull a little bit of more magic out of my bag to fix this, that I, by surrendering and giving that up to God, I wasn't ready to do that yet. I wanted to do it myself. I got myself into the mess. I needed to get myself out.
And then maybe you would have earned God's appreciation, God saying, okay, let's keep going. Because he's like waiting, figure it out. I'm here over here, right?
Yeah, and I wanted to do it on my own. I wanted to figure it out by myself.
Isn't that the trick box we so often do create for our lives? We
yes.
say, okay, I know I'm not supposed to be doing this. I made a mess of it. I'll fix it, God, and then I'll get right back over with you.
I think it's hard to live a surrendered life. When we live a surrendered life and are open to whatever God asks us to do, that isn't going to, we're in waters then. We don't know where we're going to go. We don't know what that's going to look like. And when we have the control, we know how to move forward.
And so often, as you'll find as we continue this conversation, God is so faithfully waiting. As we flail about trying to figure it out, God says, I'm still here. I haven't moved. Today, we're talking with the author and blogger and the head of the ministry entitled For His Glory, a ministry that provides daily devotions on social media. And we'll give you all that information when we come back on the other side, and you'll hear a little bit more of Amy Bauman's story right here on The Pledge. You're listening to Leading from the Table, and after we pay a few bills, we'll continue the conversation on the other side. Please don't change that dial. You're going to want to stay through and listen. And welcome Welcome back to Leading from the Table. I'm Carrie Davis. Joining me at the table today is Amy Bauman. She is the author of the new book, In Over My Head, and she leads a ministry entitled For His Glory, which provides daily devotions on social media. Amy, I want to welcome you back to the program. Your book, your story, it starts out, you begin life, and you're so, it's almost so traditional. There are a couple of exceptions, which you're very transparent about your birth, the origin of your birth, which was you were born to two parents who decided to, they found out they were pregnant. They were not married.
Correct.
Mom was in high school, I believe, at the time.
Yes.
And you say thank you. You're so grateful that they stuck it out. Your dad sold his favorite car to make sure he could pay the bills, I think is right. And
yes.
It just sort of made sure that you were brought into a safe, secure world. Your mom and dad loved you very much.
Very much. I was very blessed, even though they kind of gave up some of their young adult things that they could do. My mom didn't finish high school at that time. My dad had graduated. They did the right thing. They had me, and they loved me, and I could definitely feel that.
So throughout the book, you talk a lot about in the early part of your life, you talk about just the normality of your life. And to be very honest with you, when I was first reading your youth growing up in your home and camping with your family, I thought, well, that was my life. You know, it was so, I actually had memories and flashbacks to my own family, you know, singing in the car. And
we
kind of grew up about the same time. It's sort of an interesting thing. And I thought, well, this is so neat. And then some things start to happen. And some of the things that happen to a lot of kids. I mean, divorce is prevalent in this, unfortunately. I think the last number I saw was 1 in 3. Maybe it's 2 out of 3. I don't remember. Do you remember what the numbers are? But
it's more than 50% now, for sure.
It's a lot. So a lot of kids are in families where divorce occurs. But back then, it wasn't as common, but it happened.
Right. It did. I think back in the 70s, you stuck it out, you stuck together, you did what it took. But because my parents started off so young, they kind of grew apart, and that's why they divorced.
You eventually ended up living with your father.
I did.
And there's also a section in the book, and I don't want to give too much away because it's a really powerful story, just talking about your relationship with your mom, because she had to make some choices too. She had to figure some things out. That impacted you. And in the book, you talk about being able to cope through that period of time in which you say, and I'm just going to read it right from here in the book. You say in the book, you talk about having resiliency, I believe. Let me find it. Oh, I had it highlighted here. Yeah. So if you look up self-preservation in a dictionary, it's defined as the instinct to act in your own best interest to protect yourself and ensure your survival. Powerful for a young girl. How old were you, 11?
I was 11, yes. And I was referencing that point when they told me that they were going to get a divorce. And I kind of felt like my whole world was falling apart. All those family memories, all those camping trips, all of those fun times in the car, I wasn't going to have my family anymore. And I started to build a wall. And I was using the only means that I had, which was all the experience at the Holland State Park, at Silver Lake Sand Dunes. I was grabbing at sand and rocks and driftwood.
And just trying to create some way to box yourself in.
Some way to protect myself, because right now I did not like the way that I was feeling. I no longer felt safe. I no longer felt like I had any control. And I wanted to stop that from happening.
And the image of that sand just spilling out and not being able to protect you. You also had a strong faith in God at an early age, and
yes.
How the church then handled what was happening within your family was, in my estimation, quite frankly, sad.
Yes.
Because the church as a body really didn't step in, did they?
No, they didn't. I think foundationally, I was so blessed. We went to the First Church of the Nazarene in Kentwood, Michigan. I did all their traditional things. I sang up front. I did the youth camp. I did the Sunday school. We went twice on Sunday and Wednesday nights. And my family was very, very involved in church. And it was a loving body of believers until my parents were going to get a divorce. And then they really didn't want anything to do with us.
As a child, as a young person, as an 11-year-old child, did you understand the difference between who God was in the context of what was happening and being said to you and who the church was, or were they all enmeshed together?
I think because my parents took the brunt of that negativity, I just saw that we needed to move. I saw that we needed to stop going to that particular church. I still saw God as in control and as my best friend and as, you know, God. And so I think if I would have been perhaps older and would have heard some of the things that had happened behind the scenes, then that would have probably given me a different perspective on this loving God and the church who is supposed to support you no matter what you're going through in life.
You don't really talk about it too much in the book, but did your parents, did it separate them from that kind of factor with God as well?
I think it did. I think when you pour your whole life into a congregation and you are involved and you look to them for support, especially during a time like that, they felt the only normal thing was that they didn't belong, that they're not true Christians, that they're not following the foundation that Jesus set out for all of us, which is to love each other no matter what.
And it should also be noted that this is not a traditional approach in Christianity where people say, well, you're done, you're out, you're ex, you know, we're going to shun you. That's not a typical approach.
No, it's not.
And that's not something that we see typically. But back then, in this particular congregation, this particular sect, or I would say denomination, it was a tradition that they thought this was how you self-correct. This is how you get people to see the error in their ways. They'll come back.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking today with Amy Bauman. Her new book is called In Over My Head, a memoir, her life story, which is extremely compelling. Amy, you later, as you grew up, and you were living in a home, you had, it was somewhat fractionalized because you had, you lived with your father and eventually his new wife.
Yes.
And you and your brother. Your mom, you visited with her. She did not have full custody. She was working, and it was better for you to be in a family. Was that why that decision was made?
Back when we were making the decision who we were going to live with, we did have custody. My mom did have custody, yes, of us. Then she went off to California, and because she was going to be moving out of the state, she gave temporary custody to my dad. When she came back, my dad wasn't ready to let us go, and so he remained full custody, and then we saw my mom during the week and on weekends.
There's been a lot of talk about when moms kind of, I hate the word abandoned, because your mother didn't abandon you, but in a child's mind, when mom is gone, you feel somewhat abandoned. Did you feel abandoned at that time?
I did. I can understand now as I'm older and understand why she made the choice to leave, while it was even for just a month. You know, she was trying to find herself. She was trying to get through the divorce and all of that. I mean, she had dreams. She loved my dad. There was so many complications, and I totally understand why she did what she did.
Amy Bauman joins the conversation. The book is In Over My Head. It's a memoir, and it's a very transparent and a very honest account of a young woman's life here in West Michigan and how that journey has led her through a lot of discoveries, but more importantly, how God journeyed with her. Throughout that time in the book, you talk a lot about talking to God, you know, really having these conversations with God, calling out to him in these moments, because you had a strong understanding that he was with you.
Yes.
And he was listening.
Yes. I think it started back when we lived on the farm in Rockford, Michigan. I took a lot of walks and was trying to recover from my parents' divorce, from all of the different transitions that came with that. And so I would find myself, you know, walking out through the fields on our farm, and he was right there. I could feel him. I could sense him. And that was a foundational thing for me, and that stayed with me for all of my teen years and in my 20s.
One of the wisest things I think that was said to you during those very early years was when a school principal said, you can't let today define your experience. You need to make a decision if you're going to move on or put this behind you. And those words would really ring throughout the rest of your life, wouldn't they?
They would. That was a really tough first day at my new school, and sitting down in his office, he laid it out there, and it was true. I needed to move forward and not let today define me, and including my past and the divorce and all of that. I needed to make a life for myself and move forward.
You're listening to Leading from the Table, and when we continue the story of Amy Bauman, her book In Over My Head, and we'll be discussing what came next in her life. It was a lot, and it had a lot to do with a medical issue that she had to face with God. This is Leading from the Table, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the other side of this break. You don't want to miss it. It's a powerful story of how faithfulness and God play together.
And now, back to Leading from the Table with Kerry Davis.
Welcome back to Leading from the Table. I am Kerry Davis, and I'm so glad you've stayed with us. If you're just joining us, today we're talking with author Amy Bauman. She has a new book out called In Over My Head. And I want you to know this memoir is not just another memoir. It is a powerful story, well-written, beautifully crafted, and it tells the story of how God remained faithful and healing during a life that was in crisis at times, also sort of struggling. Amy, when I have the image of this book and I'm reading the book, I'm thinking, on the outside, everyone looking at you went, normal life, you know, okay, there was a divorce, there was this, you had to change schools a few times, who hasn't? But there was a lot else going on. And part of what was going on, even though it all looked normal, is you had this walk with God that you're listening, you're asking Him questions. You are now living out in Rockford and you are going to church on your own. There's no Sunday school, there's no youth group.
No.
But you hadn't given up on God and you hadn't given up on His people. And that would have been easy to do considering sort of the earlier part of your life, which you've got to read in the book, people. Just get the book, In Over My Head. But you went to church, you walked across the street to the little church and you would sit there with all the other adults. Let's talk about that period of your life.
That was, it was challenging to go by myself, but I felt it was important enough to do it. So I would ask everybody in the house, hey, you want to come to church with me? They would say, no, not today. And so I walked across the street and I would sit in the pew and listen to what I was just my time with God, listen to the service, meet a few people, and then I would kind of slip out the back after the service was over. So it was important for me to go on Sunday. It was important for me to give back to God, to give Him that time, and I learned new things every Sunday.
And your desire was, of course, to be, as you say in the book, you wanted to do everything the right way.
I did.
Wanted to go to college, graduate, you wanted to get good grades, you wanted to be a good daughter, you wanted to be, you know, a good daughter to both parents, good,
yes,
and a good sister and a good member of the community. And you end up going to college. You end up going to Hope College.
Yes.
Which was very exciting.
Very.
For you. And as in most life, things start to change. There's marriage, there's family, and then there's this other thing that comes into your life, which explains a lot, which I didn't see coming in the book. I'll be very honest with you. I went, whoa, whoa, where did that come from? But what then came along was a diagnosis. Did it catch you by surprise as well?
It did. I developed shingles after my daughter was born. This was in 96. And that was quite shocking for someone, 26 years old that has shingles. And so I had talked with a nurse friend and she asked me a few questions and I said, no, I don't think that I can change what's going on in my life right now by myself. So she encouraged me to go see a psychologist. I went and he asked me a myriad of questions and all of them I answered yes. And in 1996, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which is a mental illness of the brain.
What's interesting about it, when I think a lot of people hear bipolar disorder, we think about the emotional swings.
Yes.
And what I saw in your story early on seemed to be a lot of consistent behavior of just, you know, doing the right thing, being the dutiful daughter, trying to be the peacemaker, trying to keep the stability in your life. And then there's a period of time where things are very wonky, but it looks like, in my estimation, and you've got to read this in the story, in my estimation, it looked like what a lot of young newlyweds do. You know, they buy things, they get into debt, they don't, you know, they're trying to figure out their life. They have a couple of kids, you're like, whoa. But really, that was some of the earliest indicators. I had to go, I'm thinking back now, were those early indicators for you for the mood swings?
Yes. I didn't know at the time that some of the behaviors that I was exhibiting, especially to my family, close members, was the illness. I kind of had, I was operating at two different levels. I had the everybody saw me as this one person, but then my inner conflict and what I experienced with my first husband and what my family went through and my parents, they could all see this other person who was at time manic, who was at time depressed. And I would just say the spending issues, the problems with the finances, that was all starting to build after the diagnosis.
And after the diagnosis, did your family, did your ex-husband, did they go, we knew there was something? Or were they just as caught off guard?
I think they were caught off guard, especially when you're diagnosed with something like that. It's a chronic illness. You're thinking it's lifelong, and they went through all the emotions. But I think there were some behaviors that I had indicated throughout my late teens and in the 20s that were probably okay. Maybe yeah, that this is why now we understand.
Talking today with Amy Bauman. Her book is In Over My Head. It is Discovering God's Faithfulness and Healing in the Waters of Life. What is the healing? Well, you're going to have to stay with us to find out, because in the next section, we'll talk about how God, in a very miraculous way, who has continued to journey with Amy throughout this and never has left your side, never left your side.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't. And how God was able to, through the power of his people and the power of his spirit, really bring healing into Amy's life. And we're going to talk about that when we get onto the other side. One of the things that I love about Leading from the Table, this show, is the people who are willing to come onto this program and share how their life has played out, how God has journeyed with them, and also, and I think this is important, how others then watch them and understand something about themselves. And Amy, you've done that with your life, and you've done that with this book. You've set up an example, and you've told a very important story, a tough story to tell, that you wanted to share so that others might benefit and understand and maybe have insight to their own life and their own relationship with God. When we come back, we'll continue the story of how God worked in Amy Bauman's life through and with the diagnosis of bipolar disorder. You're listening to Leading from the Table, and we'll be back after a few commercial messages. Welcome back to Leading from the Table. I'm Carrie Davis, and it's such a pleasure to have you with us today. I am joined by the author and blogger, Amy Bauman. Her book is In Over My Head, and the story of Amy Bauman, her memoir, is really a story of how she discovered God's faithfulness and healing in the waters of life. Amy, your story of bipolar disorder and how it came about, the diagnosis, it wasn't, though, the end game for you, because a period of time came where you learned and you were leaning so heavily into God. Your relationship with God was so deeply entrenched that you decided to do something extraordinary. Let's talk about that.
So before we get any further, this is my story, this next section. And so the things that you hear, I want to make sure that whatever you're experiencing in your walk with God, in any depression, any illnesses, that you look at each situation separately and look for doctor's care. But I had gone through a period after the diagnosis that I was feeling a lot of bitterness and resentment and things in my life that I knew that the only way I could reach out and get those changed would be to do a day of prayer. So I went and was able to do a day of prayer, and we spent 8 hours going through all of these things in my life, all of the past hurts, all of the walls that I had built, my first marriage, issues in my second marriage. And during that 8-hour period of time, God completely transformed me and healed me. And I walked out of there a totally different person.
In fact, so totally that you did something that we don't recommend everyone do.
No.
But you felt God, because you had such a tight relationship at this point, you felt very close to the voice of God. God said yes when you said what?
He said yes when I asked him if I was healed and if I could go off all of my medication.
Now, you didn't stop just cold turkey, because you can't do that.
No. I had asked for direction, and what I heard was to wean off. And so I went and took all of my meds, half pill for a week, and then went off. I was completely off everything within 2 weeks.
And how long has that been now?
That's been 4 years.
And have you had to use any pharmacological medication to manage anything that has to do with bipolar disorder?
No, I haven't.
Now, it is really important, and I thank you for that clarification when you said, you know, everyone has to evaluate their with their doctor,
yes,
with their pastor, with their own conversation with God. This isn't something we say, oh, everyone should just do this. This was a miraculous healing, which is why I think God gave you the ability, number one, to put this book together,
yes,
so that you could speak of God's faithfulness. God has been journeying with you. Not so that everybody jumps off their medication, but you can see just how close and tight and important it is to have that communication with God and listen to his voice. He might not say yes when you say, should I go off by my medicine? But he might say, no, there's something else I want you to do. There's another part of your life that will lead you to. And so it's really that obedience, because that had to have been, wasn't that a little frightening for you?
Well, I didn't tell my husband that I was doing that. I wanted to give it some time to make sure that he could see the change in me. And so after about a month, I asked him, I said, well, how do you think I'm doing? You know, what have you seen over the last month since I've, you know, did the day of prayer? And he said, I think you're doing fantastic. He said he couldn't believe the change in me. And at that time is when I told him, well, I'm no longer taking any of my medication. That was...
Was that frightening for him?
It was
a little
frightening
bit?
For him,
yeah. I can imagine.
It was.
Yeah, I certainly can imagine. What... When you look back on all the sort of, there's a lot of hills and valleys, and there's a lot of mountaintop experiences, but there's also a lot of places where there's things in your life where you're not sure how the outcome's going to go. When you look back and you see God in all those places, where does that put you today in your trust of who he is?
Everything I've ever encountered, he's met me. And he's walked with me. And so I feel that no matter where I go from this day forward, for one, I've given my life completely to him. I'm obedient to whatever he asks me to do and whatever that may look like. And I know that no matter what that is, he will give me the strength and the courage and the peace to do that, to move forward day by day.
It's such an important message. Because so often we think, well, if I behave appropriately, God will answer my prayers, right? And what you're saying is, it wasn't that you were behaving appropriately, it was that you were communing with him and accepting of whatever came your way, that you knew you weren't alone.
I tried it so many different ways. I tried, putting on this facade that everything was fine. And I lived for years in a glass house where everybody could see this image of me that wasn't really the image. I mean, it looked like I had it all together. It looked like I had money. It looked like I had a wonderful family and we were all dressed in the best clothes. But we were, you know, in over our eyeballs in debt and was about to lose everything. And that's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to be transparent, is I feel like we all walk through life. We all have issues. We all struggle with depression or anxiety or money problems or illnesses or families or divorces. We are all in this together. And what God will do with our lives if we surrender and if we tear down those walls, he will do amazing things.
It's just a matter of trusting him.
Amen.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Amy Bauman, because there were also key people in her life, people that were leading her through the example of their own lives and helped her to understand what it looks like to walk in a fully formed relationship with God. You're listening to Leading from the Table. We have Amy Bauman in today. Her memoir, In Over My Head, Discovering God's Faithfulness and Healing in the Waters of Life. And I ask you, the listener right now, to ask yourself this question privately. Are you really following, and are you really listening, and are you accepting of the answers? Because so often, I can be honest with you, I have often said, oh no, God, I have the better way. This is Leading from the Table, and we will be right back. And welcome back to Leading from the Table. I'm Carrie Davis, and today I am joined here at the table by Amy Bauman, the author of the book, In Over My Head, a memoir. Amy's story will lead you to come to a deeper understanding of who God is and what he wants to journey, how he wants to journey with you in your life and guide your life. Amy, welcome back to the program. It's so good to have you today.
It's good to be here, Carrie. Thanks.
Your story also reveals how God's people in imperfect and perfect ways, kind of really shaped a picture of your life and your faith in God. We talked a little bit earlier about how the church collective kind of did not do a good job, but there were other people later on in your life who really stepped up and became true examples of what Christ-like love and behavior looks like, faithfully following God's direction. Let's talk about what happened when you went on a job interview for the first time, had to, you know, sort of meet some people.
So after the divorce, I was out of work and I needed a full-time job to kind of help take care of my two kids. And so I had found an ad online. I sent in my resume. They called me in for an interview, and this was with Bauman Building about 10 years ago. And I interviewed with Mike Bauman, and I did a terrible job. I couldn't keep eye contact. I had really poor self-esteem, and it went really bad. And surprisingly, though, not so much surprisingly, because that's the way God works, Mike and Marcy prayed about it, and out of 100 applicants, I was offered the job. And it has been a blessing to work there in this Christian company.
When did they tell you that they'd prayed about it, and that's how they made the decision?
When they called to say that I had the job. I mean, I didn't think I was going to get it. Like I said, I did a really poor job. And they said, well, we've been praying about this, and we really want to offer you the job. And that's when I knew it was a God thing.
Well, and it's also sort of interesting because in their minds, collectively, in their human brains, they might have been thinking, well, this isn't the right girl. But as they're praying, God goes, nope, that's the right girl. That's the girl. And so as a business owner, when you say, I'm going to pray about that, we say this a lot, don't we? We say, oh, well, I'm going to pray about that, or I'm going to pray for you. And yet, most of the time we significantly do pray, but sometimes we're like, yeah, okay, God, blah, blah, blah. And God's like, hello, I'm talking to you here. And we miss it, right?
Exactly.
Fascinating. So that was a true testimony to you that God was not only in this in a deep, deep, deep way, he was laying a plan and a path for you.
He was. And I think that's one of the things I've been so blessed by is working at a Christian company for the last 10 years is every day I'm allowed to be in the faith. I can listen to Christian radio. I can talk to people. We can pray at our office meetings. I can look, and for many years I did look at their example as a married couple who had a business and who had kids. And they allowed me to go to Israel for 10 days as part of my vacation. I mean, leave of absence. They've just, time and time again, that team of people have stood behind me and prayed for me. And watched me grow over the last 10 years.
It's also important to note that life now, we often like to have in our television shows and in our books, we have to like have all everything tied up in a nice bow. It's all perfect, isn't it? You know, at the end of the story. But in truth, the story continues. The story continues all of our lives as we journey with God. Have you found, because no life is perfect, everyone's going to run into bad days and tough times and situations, have you found that as you've grown and walked further and longer with God and His people, how much more, no matter what comes your way, you know it'll be all right?
I still probably right now am feeling in over my head. God has called me to this ministry. He's called me to write this book. He's called me to take it throughout the United States. And this is just a small stepping stone right now, this very first step. I believe He wants to continue to grow this ministry and show me what He wants to do.
The book, again, is In Over My Head. You can pick it up from?
From Amazon right now.
In Over My Head by Amy Bauman. Amy, thank you so much. If you want to go to her website and learn more about her, it's www.amiebauman.com. Amy Bauman, God bless you. Thank you for leading a life that has led others as well.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
This has been Leading from the Table, and we'll be back tomorrow. We hope you have a wonderful day. Lead well, friends. Lead well.